Question 9. Why should young professionals care about professional ethics? Basically, their future engineering careers as a professional will depend upon it. I'm glad you raised this topic. When I first organized the Concerned Ethics Volunteers, we called the CEV, in 2017, most of us were life senior or fellow members. But one was a young woman working at the Embry-Riddle Aeronautical University, ERAU, in Daytona Beach, Florida. She got very involved with our efforts and bought into what we were trying to do. She could see on her own what we were trying to achieve and bought into it all. I wish there were more like her we could have tapped and got involved. While in a few years most of us will be gone on the CEV, she and all the other younger members have their futures ahead of them. They need to see how important it will be to know that their IEEE society will be there to support them, and in turn will be helping to keep the public and society safer from the products they will help create and help support IEEE maintain its tagline, enhancing technology for mankind. Now, I feel the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee should be tasked by the board with creating professional and ethical education materials for all the members. This could consist of a packet of materials which are included with the new and renewal membership materials sent out each year to members upon joining and or rejoining, containing the following. 1. Copies of the parts of the Constitution, bylaws, policies, procedures, code of ethics pertaining to member discipline, ethics advice, and ethical support performed by the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee, plus the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee Operations Manual with its appendices. 2. Copies of the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee Annual Report, particularly what cases were handled and their final results. 3. Pleadings from the IEEE amicus curiae brief in the BART case on the ultimate responsibility of engineers to protect the public. And more needs to be determined of what should be provided to the young members. Further, if the future young engineer members of IEEE are to practice as professionals, they need to really understand and appreciate the implications of the pleadings IEEE's attorneys made in the BART case about their responsibility. Their number one responsibility is to protect the public, the number one responsibility. And at times that is going to clash with a supervisor who might think otherwise. And this is where the conflicts come up. And there needs to be a process for resolving that. I have proposed several things like the need for an ombudsman within companies to be able to bring the parties together and resolve those. I wrote a paper which indicated that this can be done. I had a situation where I was a supervisor in engineering, and a young engineer came to me and he said, I have a conflict. I've been asked to evaluate product B against product A. Product A, they gave me a lot of hours to evaluate. Product B, they cut me back to only a few hours. That's not fair. I said, I agree with you. So I took it to our manager, explained to him what the situation was, that it was unethical business-wise to do that. We discussed it for a while, and he made accommodations for that. He went back and said, I will adjust this so it's on an equal basis. Well, that was an example of a win-win outcome resolved right there within an employment situation. No need to go outside at all. We need more of that, but the engineers need to be equipped with the tools how to go about getting that resolved. That's where IEEE's ethics advice can be so helpful to the members. Now, this committee shows that not only do the members need to understand this, what their duties are, their obligations, their responsibilities, but the supervisors, the managers, over them need to understand what their workers are being held to account for. They have to be able to come to an adjustment as well to work out the situation. So both the employees and the supervisors and managers need to understand the whole realm of professional responsibility, the implications of what the IEEE attorneys said in the BART case. I mean, I keep going back to that, but that's fundamental, fundamental. Number one, responsibility of engineers is to protect the public. Now, here's a mechanism that ought to be considered for bringing these two parties together. That is, the employee who has raised a conflict problem and the supervisor or manager who is resistant to approve it. In 1998, when I served my third year on the Member Conduct Committee, the chair was Dr. Martha Sloan. She previously had been the first woman to be elected as the IEEE president. She had proposed a new service. I volunteered then to be her editor to get the inputs from the members and to prepare a draft, which I did. It was submitted to her, and it was ready to go to the board of directors as a recommendation to be adopted. It never did. And I was never able to find out exactly the reason for that. But it occurred at the same time, 1998, that the executive committee and the board of directors was cutting back all ethics activities, the committee, services, hotline, and was discharging the proactive ethics members. But here's the essence of her services. It was called Ethics and Conflict Resolution Service. Number one would be to provide education to the members. I've talked about this already, that the Ethics and Member Conduct Committee ought to take a lead in this. Number two would be to interpret the applicable IEEE governing documents. After all, the governance documents are what control what the policy and procedures are for conducting business in IEEE. Three, there could be then held face-to-face interactions with those who are charging or asking for support. And this could be done by volunteers from IEEE that could meet with the individuals or talk with them on the phone, exchange information, have a face-to-face, and get the background to try to bring the parties together. Four, the members in the Ethics Committee could provide a sounding board function. This could be electronic or hard copy media assistance. Five, a third party hearing panel of independent experts or peer reviewers could be utilized to bring the parties together, hear the technical issues, hear the business reasons why management doesn't want to approve that. Six, there needs to be a whistleblower avoidance advice service. Now, IEEE has published a paper dealing with how to avoid whistleblower conflicts. It could be based starting with that. Seven, all other efforts, if they fail, then mediation or arbitration efforts could be aimed at resolving the matter. And eight, IEEE has an association with what was called and what may still be the Ethics Officers Association. That membership could be contacted and solicited to help coordinate the insistence of resolving this within a company where the issue has been raised. Now, these are the elements of it. It ought to be fleshed out, developed further, approved, and implemented. This would go a long way of bringing the two parties together, just like I cited the win-win case where an employee came to me and I went to management, discussed the issues, and management happened to be very willing and did accommodate those requests of the engineer to have equal time to evaluate products A and product B. Thank you.